which is Zing versus Gonzalez, 04-4298. Mr. Ma.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, my name is Peng Tian Ma on behalf of the petitioner. Your Honor, the petitioner asked this Court to review the credibility determination made by the both the judge, the immigration judge, and also the Board of Immigration Appeals. The adverse credibility determination is based on a statement allegedly signed by the petitioner when he was interviewed at the port, at the border. But at the hearing, the petitioner gave detailed testimony showing that the statement was solicited and transcribed under very irregular circumstances. For instance, the question is, say, how do you, the statement says he came here to seek a job. But the petitioner testified that the question was not asked that way. They say it was, you come to the United States, how do you support yourself? He said, I'll find a job. That's the reliance on the statement was not justified because he testified, he did not say I lied or I did not tell the truth at the time of the interview. He was claiming that the transcription of the statement was not correct. He gave us detailed testimony regarding the irregular circumstances. Last night I happened to review the record again. The government claims that the statement was read back to the petitioner before he signed it. But I reviewed the record. That is in Exhibit 14. That's the alleged statement. Even the petitioner's mother's name was wrong. If the statement had been read back to him, he should have corrected the wrong spelling or the wrong name, totally wrong name. And also the judge pointed out some inconsistencies in his statement. For instance, the measurement of of a person's age in China. The judge said, according to the traditional measurement, this person would have met the requirement for marriage. But the judge's reliance on this, on his knowledge, is not justified because there is no evidence in the record showing that the Chinese government uses the traditional measurement. This is one thing. And also, the judge pointed out that it took the petitioner 11 years without producing any documentary evidence to support his claim. Your Honor, it is almost a universal truth that the longer it takes, the less evidence you can get from you can get for a case. And also, in most of the cases, genuine asylum seekers, they are not able to get the evidence, documentary evidence, because although the persecutors act under the color of government authority, but their actions were not official. There are no official record of the proceedings, their persecuting actions. So it's very hard to get documentary evidence to support a claim.
Can I go back to this interview situation, though, because you said he signed the affidavit and there was some confusion and he wanted to explain how he could support himself, but during the course of the interview and at least looking at the affidavit, is there any phrase in there that he left to avoid some trouble?
Yes.
Okay, and so you don't think that would have been the time when he could have explained what that trouble was? So he understood that explain in some way what his why he was coming. And so that was certainly an opportunity. He got some understanding that he had to explain why he was coming.
Right. Your Honor, I don't believe even the officer asked him to explain the detailed reasons, because he also testified that the interview, the officer interviewed 5 to 6 people at the same time at the same location, And I don't believe he had any chance to explain the specific reasons that he came to the United States. And the officer talked to several people. They were sitting along the same table. I do not believe he had the opportunity to explain. That's what he testified. The document was never explained to me before I was asked to sign, because this Chinese-speaking officer was dealing with 5-6 people at the same time. So we did not have time to explain that. So I was not aware of what was being transcribed here, so I just signed my name here. I don't believe they had time to explain the detailed situation. Lastly, there is a marriage issue. The petitioner testified that he got married to this woman through a traditional marriage. They celebrated the marriage by inviting the Rosa family party to celebrate the marriage, and the judge simply did not recognize this marriage. And also the judge doubted that since there is a celebration of the marriage, the wife's relatives were not present at the party. But the petitioner explained that as a tradition at the party, the celebration, the ceremony, usually the wife's relatives do not attend the ceremony. And it is the tradition that the couple pay a visit after the ceremony. I think any reliance on these kind of so-called inconsistencies are not justified, because they are not inconsistencies. Secondly, the judge would believe that the Chinese government would use the traditional measurement to calculate a person's age in order to determine whether this person meet the requirements or not. But in the meantime, he would not recognize this self-celebrated marriage. And also there is another issue, is that both the BIA and the judge determined that because there was no marriage, although this woman was forced to have an abortion, but this man cannot claim the benefit because there was no marriage. We believe that a girlfriend, even if this relationship is short of a marriage, a girlfriend and a wife should be treated on the same basis. Because
a lot of people have said that.
Right. I think this court will revisit this issue again and again until there is a final determination as to whether a relationship, abortion, should give the benefit to the man. Do I still have time?
Yeah.
You're in your rebuttal time, though.
Okay, I can.
If you want to save some time to come back, you may.
Thanks.
Okay. Good morning,
Mr. Quinley.
Yes, Michael Quinley from the Southern District of Illinois, appearing on behalf of the Attorney General in this matter. And I do have something that may be of some assistance. It's not current, but in this record on page 281, original administrative law judge recited the following in her oral decision. The Bureau of Human Rights and Humanitarian Affairs has submitted an opinion in this case indicating that they have reviewed the several asylum applications, hundreds, that they have received from the Fujian province in the area which the applicant is from. That they noticed that all of
that
the
was the same province that the
earlier
preceding case that we
well
had.
I don't know, I didn't review that case, but the court would be aware. That they noticed that all of the applications are remarkably similar, and that from their investigation of the area and their own information about the area where the applicant comes from, they doubt that the problems with birth control have occurred as often or as seriously as claimed by all of these applicants. Now, I only do that in response to the court's earlier question in the other proceeding. Mm-hmm. This is the first proceeding in January of 1993, and what's on review here is the later determination in July of 2003 that was upheld by the Bureau of Immigration Appeals. But it is part of the record. I read the... Your Honor, there may be some misunderstanding with regard to the response to your question. I've read the written record of the affidavit, the translation in English, and there, in fact, appear to be two, one with the typed questions and then the handwritten and answers, and then a two-page document following that, also with a certification that simply has numbers and then writes out the responses. And even though I do believe the petition, the appellant, Mr. Zeng, does maintain that he said to them that there was a problem back in China, it appears nowhere in writing. And of course, what does appear in writing, again, if I may, and the court is already familiar with this, I think is a pretty more is a more extensive response or set of responses than simply how are you going to support yourself now? Why did you the typewritten question? Why did you decide to leave the country that you are a citizen of? I decided to leave China because there are not many jobs for people like us. And then later. On the second page of, and this is at 189 in the record, after explaining about having a relative in New York and that Snakehead's involvement, I mean, there's a lot of detailed description of the circumstances of coming over. He has an answer written here, according to the interpreter. I used to be farmer. I got nothing to do except some seasons. So I tried to look for some job in the U.S. The other thing, Your Honors, and I hope that's helpful with regard to your question, Your Honor. He maintains that he said something bad. You can't find it in writing, and that was September 12th of 1992 when he was being interviewed in San Pedro, and. Then he very quickly does have a hearing, however, in January of 1993, January 13th, with immigration judge Rose Colanti Peters. And at that hearing, he maintains that he has a letter that he didn't bring to the hearing from his wife and perhaps other letters. The letter, and that immigration judge emphasizes in her decision the lack of any cooperation from any of the family members, and that he says he has this letter and doesn't bring it, and that he has a cousin in New York who's talked to his mother, but he reports that she decided she didn't want to come to the hearing or present an affidavit from her. We go now 10 years later to July of 2003. And he again is having a hearing before an administrative law judge on his claim for asylum and to resist the removal. And now he has that one item of corroborating information, the letter, but I'll note that the letter is dated January 9th, 2000. So apparently not the letter that he claimed that he had in 1993. Bottom line, Your Honors, I've read the transcript of the testimony. I've read the affidavit. I read the wife's letter. I tell you what, it tears my heart out. I'm glad Congress tried to grant some asylum relief here. But I can't decide on this written record, this man's credibility. I mean, there's some great indications, and those were cited in the decision of the administrative law judge and the Bureau of Immigration Appeals. But I didn't get an opportunity to directly assess him. I imagine Mr. Ma didn't either in the first hearing, perhaps in the second. But that's why this court and other courts have wisely indicated that they're going to give deference to a finding of credibility to the decision maker who did have an opportunity to assess them.
And, of course, if we affirm the IJ's determination and the BIA's determination as it relates to credibility, we never have to get to the whole question of eligibility in terms of marriage.
That's correct, Your Honor, and I'm not sure that the court should go there, because I think that's more an individualized determination about it really involves whether or not the spouse or friend actually has suffered persecution or has a legitimate fear. So I'm not sure how useful that is. I know because of Judge Evans' question and concern that there seems to be an indication that they're overwhelmed. I might add, it was five people who came for Mr. Zhang. He, too, struggled and escaped from the five. Is it possible? Yes, of course it is. But the two judges who had an opportunity to make an in-person credibility determination made it. There's nothing in this record to decide that they were wrong or that they were injudicious or not careful in their consideration of Mr. Zhang as he presented himself both in 1993 and in 2003. So thank you for your patience. I'd be more helpful, I think, if I had actually been at those hearings. I wasn't, but I'm pleased to be here to provide whatever assistance I can. Thank you.
Mr. Ma, anything further?
Yes. Just by the way, I did not represent the petition in the proceedings in the lower tribunals. First of all, the counsel mentioned that a lot of cases have remarkably similar situations. I believe that shows that there might be a pattern of persecution on the part of the government. That explains the remarkable similarities. And secondly, the statement, I believe the detailed testimony of the petitioner at the hearing regarding this statement refutes the genuineness of the statement. At least it was translated into English, and he was not aware that that was the way of the translation, and he corrected the inaccuracies at the hearing, and very detailed, and even the how many people were there, and the manner in which the interview was conducted. I believe the determination by the judge was wrong. This court should reverse this case, at least remand this case back to the immigration court to make a new determination. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Ma. Thank you, Mr. Quinley. The case will be taken under advisement. Thank you to both sides. Before proceeding to